like to this morning invite you over to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20 reads this way. It says, "For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning, thanking you once again for the privilege of gathering together as your people. And then, Lord, knowing that where two or three are gathered in your name, there are you in the midst. Lord, may we never forget your presence and realize that you are with us all the time as a safe child of God because of your grace, Lord, and your mercy, and your desire to use each and every one of us for your honor and glory. Bless your word, bless your people. And Lord, if there's one or more than one that does not have the assurance of eternal life, may you open up their understanding to see their need of you. And we'll thank you and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is simply Established in Christ and Anointed by God. Established in Christ and Anointed by God. The word we have here in our text is establisheth, and it's the word that we use, established, and it's in the continual tense. It is a continual establishing that God brings to the life of a believer, and it means to make sure. And a careful study, really, of the Word of God will reveal God's desire to continually bless our lives by His power, beginning with salvation. And by the way, God is glorified by changing our lives by His power, which in turn brings praise and genuine worship into our lives as we see the work that God wants to do in and through us. And so this morning, we want to consider some important truths here, four specifically that we want to consider, and that changes the life of the believer and empowers him for the or her for the glory of God. And that is Paul's motive for believers revealed. We'll see Paul's motivation for sharing this message with the Corinthian believers. We'll see the God of all comfort. That encourages the believer. I like to be comforted. How about you? Amen. I don't like to be uncomfortable, but I like to be comforted. I thank the Lord for that. And then the third one is a genuine help by other believers. And then God is true. We'll consider this here, last thought, as we go through our message. Let me back you up here, if you will, to verses 1 and 2. And notice Paul's motive for the believer revealed. God wants, or Paul wanted the believers to know his intent, his purpose. You know, God is not a shady salesman. Amen. You like a good salesman. A good salesman will find out what you need and find out what you want and maybe make some recommendations, but you'll walk out feeling like you made a good purchase. Amen. This is something that I really needed, and then you'll use it and you'll say, this has really benefited my life. And that's what God is in the business of doing. Now, the world, because they don't know the Lord, they don't know if they can trust the Lord. But you and I who are saved, we know that we can trust the Lord beginning with our eternal life, and we like that. But then there are shady people that are just out to make a commission that they don't really care about you or what you need or what you want. They're just looking for how it could benefit them. And so when you work in sales, sometimes you find people that they'll get more of a commission if they sell this item rather than that item, and that's what moves them. But the Lord is not like that. Amen. The Lord is all for us. And the way that we know that is that God gave us his only begotten Son. And the Bible says if he's given to us his Son, his only begotten Son, he'll not withhold anything else from us that's good, because he gave us the very best in his Son. It was the death, burial, and the blood shedding and the resurrection of Christ that gives the believer a new life. And God saw that need in our lives. And so therefore, in eternity past, the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit counseled together and said, listen, we're going to go ahead and allow the Lord Jesus Christ to come in our place, and all those that will put their faith and trust in him will have eternal life. And we thank the Lord for that. And so the Lord doesn't change. God is always for our good and for our benefit. Notice verse 1 here, what Paul says. This is Paul,
an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. So he's not looking at even his position as something very lofty. In fact, he was one who wasted the church. He was one who brought believers to their death. And he wanted them condemned. And then he met the Lord on the road to Damascus and received eternal life and had a changed life. And now he's preaching the truth at his own peril, at his own risk. And it did cost him eventually his life. And notice what he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, not anything that he's done, and Timotheus, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, a specific location, with all saints which are in all Achaia. All right, so he's saying, I'm reaching out with this letter to this region of believers, but now today, because it's in the canon of Scripture, it's also intended to give us understanding and wisdom concerning the salvation that God has given to us to reach all the ages throughout all the ages until the Lord comes again. Verse 2, he says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Paul's motivation to the believer. He's wanting them to have God's best. And the reason for that is because, listen, consider this. Paul, thinking he was doing God's will, was killing people that were his saints. And he was, in fact, he relished in that. He was enjoying, he was motivated, he was pursuing that, but he was dead wrong. Amen? He was, and in fact, it would have cost him his eternal soul had he continued in that venue, in that way, and in that way of thinking. But God changed him, revealed the truth, and you know what? He glorified the Lord. The very first thing that Paul said was, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He said, you know what he said? I was so wrong, Lord, my life is yours. I was busy destroying your people, and now I want to know, because you've given me your mercy, the one who was least deserving of your mercy and your grace, you've given it to me. Oh boy, Lord, thank you, God. Amen? And now all I want to do is serve you. And listen, when we find the pearl of great price, we're willing to say, listen, all the things that are in this world are simply passing away. The greatest possession that any individual could ever have is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, there's no other eternal life. By the way, everybody lives for eternity, but it's either life or death. We either have eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ or it's eternal death. And let me just remind you of something. The Bible tells us in hell, there's going to be wailing, weeping, and gnashing of teeth. When somebody's gnashing their teeth, they're unrepented. They're so mad, they don't care what they do to themselves. They're still daring and saying, how dare you, God, do what's right? Some people say, well, why does God have to judge? Well, simply put, because he's God. Amen? Because he's the one that owns it all. He's the one that created it all. He's the one that has the rights to it all. And everything that we have, our intellect, our health, everything that we have has been given to us, guess by who? You knew that, didn't you? By the Lord. And so God has given to us a very life, our very existence. And so it all belongs to him. And he's given us the freedom to choose us every day, choose you this day, whom you will serve. We can either serve ourselves, we can serve the world, or we can serve the Lord. Amen? And so Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God, and therefore it all belongs to him. I want him to have it all. And so he says, I want you to have this grace of God and this peace that God has given to me, that comes, look, notice verse 2, that comes from the Lord himself. Grace, peace to you. He said, grace be to you and peace from God our Father. That's where it comes from, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I want you to have possession of this in your own personal life. Now, let me ask you this question. Was Paul speaking to believers or to unbelievers? He's speaking to believers. And he's wanting them to have this grace and this peace. But wait a minute, I thought they got that at salvation. Oh yeah, they did. They got salvation, and through that began the grace of God and the peace of God. But God wants us to walk in that. He doesn't want it to be a one-time event. Listen, he wants it to be a daily event in our lives. And he wants us to grow in that daily event as well. So notice the God of all comfort here as we consider verses 3 through 10. And notice what it says. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Now, the Apostle Paul is saying this. So let me ask you this question about Paul's faith or relationship in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you think it was something that was mandated in his life that he grudgingly did? Do you think he enjoyed it a little bit? He enjoyed it a lot, didn't he? He enjoyed it a lot. See, listen, when we really come to find out who God is, we will enjoy him like nobody else. Amen? Amen. We will enjoy the Lord and what he's given to us in eternal life like nothing else. Listen, there is nothing I would give in exchange in this world for my eternal soul. There's not one thing you can tempt me with that would be better for me to have than the eternal life that Jesus Christ has given to me as a gift. And I love that. And so here's what the Lord is saying through the Apostle Paul. He's saying, I want you to know, I want that to flourish in your life. I want that to be multiplied. I want it to grow. And I want it to remain. I want it to be fruit that remains through all the generations in your life, and that you would share that with others. And that's what Paul was blessed to do. He says, listen, this is so good, I can't keep it. Amen? This is so good, I want to encourage these believers. First of all, Paul was instrumental in leading these people to the Lord Jesus Christ, and this church being founded upon the Lord Jesus Christ through the ministry that God had given to them. And now he's saying, I wanted to see it flourish. So his concern and his compassion is personal. Amen. It's personal with them and it's personal with God. I want the Lord to be glorified. Listen, I've turned 180 degree around, right? I was going in one direction. God shined his light in my life. And that's the only way we'll come around to it. When we see, oh my goodness, I've been wrong. How much of the time? The whole time. Amen. I've been wrong the whole time. I don't deserve God's grace. I deserve God's judgment. But he's given me his grace. Praise the Lord. I'm going to take his grace. Amen. There are some people that say, I don't care what God has done. I'm going to take his judgment. Well, you can have at that, because that leads to only death. And that's not what God wants for anybody, but he does want us to make that choice. That's what real love is all about. You and I choosing whether or not we want to follow the Lord and whether or not we want to experience more of his grace, more of his peace in our own personal lives. And so as we consider this, we want to see that God is really revealing his great comfort to the life of the believer. So he says this again, verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. That's an important truth. Realize that God will be with us in every part of our tribulation. Even though it can be a physical challenge, even though it can be an emotional challenge, God can grant his peace and his grace and mercy through that difficulty to build our faith and build our love towards God's great faithfulness. And that's where we remove from just a testimony to an experience that God wants us to have in our everyday life. So he comforteth us in all our tribulations. Verse 4, why? That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Did you see that? We can't comfort anybody until we say, you know, Lord, I'm going to trust you today. I'm going to trust you. Have you ever gotten anxious over something that you didn't have control over? And then in your mind, you can elaborate things in your mind bigger than what they really are. And you can scare yourself if you really want to, can't you? You can all, especially if you've ever had kids, right? You don't hear from them. Man, if you let it go, your mind can imagine all different kinds of things, and you can get all worked up and all in a panic over nothing, and then you end up finding it was nothing at all. It was all okay. And that can happen. But God doesn't want us to walk like that. God wants us to have our confidence in him, who's the God of all comfort, as we just read right there. And so he says, when we walk like that and we allow him to be our peace, then the peace of God overflows to encourage other believers. And we can say, listen, I know exactly. When I mention kids and what we can imagine, I've seen a lot of people, their faces concurring with me. Yes, I've experienced that. I know. Listen, I've worried about my kids before like that, and it was all over nothing. But I want you to know, listen, that's the kind of experience that God wants us to have personally so that we can still the hearts and comfort the hearts of other believers. Listen, there are times, even though I've been saved for over 30 years and know the Lord for many years, I still need to be comforted by the grace of God that's in the life of other believers as well to remind me and encourage. Because when you're going through a difficult time, it's good to have other believers to say, oh, God is faithful. And I'm reminded, yes, He is. Amen. Oh, God is graceful. And I'm reminded, oh, yes, He is. And God is all loving. Remember His love when He died on the cross? Yes, He is. Amen. And so we need to encourage one another. And that's what Paul is doing for these believers at Corinth, that they might walk assuredly in the grace of God. And so he says this. Notice verse 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. So he says this, I want you to know, the sufferings of Christ, they abound in us, but so also do the consolation and the comforts of God also abound in us, and that's what carries us through, that God is faithful to us even through the hardships. Listen, that is the only reason why you and I are here. If you're saved and know the Lord for any length of time, that is the reason why you're here today. You have gone through some experience. If you live life, the Bible says that man's woes and his troubles are as the sparks fly upward at a bonfire. You ever seen a bonfire? And you ever see those sparks crackling and popping? And all of a sudden you see one spark fly up and it goes up and it goes up and all of a sudden it pops again while it's going up and there's three or four or five more. You ever see, all of a sudden you have one problem and then all of a sudden that one problem, three or four or five more. On top of the one problem that you had, as if that wasn't enough. And why is it that we're here today? Because God is truly the God of all comfort and grace in our lives. And we stop back and we can still see that God is good, even in spite of our difficulties. The world has no clue. In fact, you know what the world says? Man, I would have experienced two or three of those troubles and I'd have quit God a long time ago. Yes, and guess what? We would have also. The only difference is we know the Lord. Amen? We know the Lord personally, and that's what changes the life of the individual to our commitment towards God, because we know His great faithfulness, and we know something that the world doesn't know, that even though some things are difficult and hard, that God is working all these things for what? For our good. And we trust the Lord. You know why they don't, I was just going to say, you know why they don't trust the Lord? Well, because they don't trust the Lord. That's just as simple as that. And that is because they don't know Him. That's like putting your faith and trust in somebody that you need to count on that you've never experienced or not, whether they're faithful in a hardship, in a difficulty, whether they will be there on time for you when you need them. But it's like having somebody who shows up time and time and time again to be faithful. You can trust that individual. And that's what they don't have with the Lord, that we have the continual trusting in the Lord on a daily basis. Lord, I need you today, because if not, I'm going to operate in my way of thinking. Is my way of thinking God's thinking?
No.
I need. Listen, Lord, I don't need to think the way that I think. I don't. You know how I need to think? Oh, I need to think like God thinks, don't I? You know why? Because God's word and God's thinking is the truth. Not a truth, it is the truth. Amen. What God says. So listen, everything outside of that is not the truth. There's not this truth and that truth. There's only one, and that's God's truth. And so, listen, eternity will bear it out, but God says we have the opportunity and the privilege to trust His truth today and every day, and God will be faithful to build our faith in Him as we continue to say, yes, Lord, my trust is in You, my faith is in You and Your great faithfulness to fulfill all of Your promises. So he says this, verse 5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for Your consolation and salvation, which is effectual or effective in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or did you see this? Listen, there's a lot of we's there, isn't there? There's a lot of us's you'll see also. Or whether we be comforted, it is for Your consolation and salvation. So he says, listen, we are encouraged. We are encouraged when we see Your trust or Your faithfulness to God, because you're experiencing the same faithfulness that we have of God in our own lives. And so Paul and Timothy and the other followers were encouraged encouraged when they saw God's people being faithful. And then God's people were saying, you know what? I understand exactly what they're going through, and God is great. And so even though Paul says that they've come through some difficult trials in their lives, they all say this, God is faithful even through that. And the other believers, because they have a working salvation in trusting the Lord, are experiencing the grace of God in their own lives, that Paul and Timothy and other believers were also encouraged, as well as the believers at local churches. So he says, listen, I want you to know something. God is faithful. Verse 7, and our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, ye shall also be of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant, listen to this, of our trouble which came unto us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we even, listen, that we despaired even of life. Wow. They were really pressed out of measure. Listen, you ever see, people do crazy things today, right? You see a bottle of water, they put a little coin, can you look? And then they squeeze that water bottle, try to squirt you in the face, and they think that's really funny. Well, when you squeeze that water and it overflows, it's out of measure. It's out of the place that it's supposed to be in. And so likewise also in our lives, sometimes we are squeezed out of measure and things are out of place according to the place that we like them to be. As far as this is normal, this is not normal. Amen. And so God says, even in those times, you can count on Him. Amen. And God, listen, the only way that you can know that, there's only one way to know that, is to allow the Lord to take you to those places and know that you're still in His hands. And so many times God does this for us, but as we get to know Him on a personal basis, we can trust Him even more and we can love Him even more, can't we? But that's still the work of God. But when does that begin? When should we begin to trust the Lord in our lives? As a saved child of God, when shall we begin to trust the Lord? Every day. Lord, I need you. Because I don't want to react or not respond the way that I should. I want to function in this life in a way that would honor and glorify you. And here's one thing I know, I can't do that. And here's a wonderful truth. Ready? God does not expect us to do that. But He does expect us to trust Him to do that for us, in us. That's why we're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. He says, remember what He said? He's the God of all comfort. Remember what Jesus said when He was getting ready to go to the cross? I shall not leave you comfortless. I'll not leave you comfortless. Well, how are you going to comfort me? The best way that it could ever be done, and that is by indwelling the believer with the Holy Spirit. But if we park the Holy Spirit off on the side and never use Him, it's like having a vehicle to take you everywhere and walking everywhere. Oh, you can get there. It's going to take you a little bit longer. It's going to require a little bit more work. Today, it might be even a little bit dangerous, right? I wouldn't want to walk on I-70. How about you? Have you ever driven on I-70? You have to drive sometimes. How about 63? I don't know which one's worse. Amen? But God says, listen, if you trust me, I'll get you there. And I'll get you there safely. And I'll get you there comfortably. And I'll get you there in a way that will glorify and cause us to experience the grace of God in a greater way. So notice verse 9. But we had this sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust what? In ourselves. See, that's what will keep us from walking in faith. Did you notice that? But we had this sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust ourselves, but where? Which raises the dead. See, there's a lot of believers that don't experience the grace of God, and their lives are like a tumbleweed. This sounds good, that sounds good. Oh, no, listen, there's only one thing that's good. There's only one, and that's the Word of God. That's it. Anything else is not good. It doesn't matter what the world tells you, and it doesn't matter what we think. I can look in life and I can say, boy, there's a lot of things that I thought were good that as I grow in grace, I understand they're not good. They're not just even okay, they're not good, because what they do is they keep me from walking in the grace of God. And so I need to not lean to my own understanding, but in how many of my ways should I acknowledge God? In all my ways. That's what the Bible says. You know what's required to do that, to walk in the ways of God, in all our ways? What's it require? Faith, trust. Trust. So here's the question. Who are we trusting on a daily basis? What we can see? That's not God. Or what he has said, what he has spoken, that's God. Amen? And so, Lord, I want to believe in you and what you've promised to bring into my life as one who professes to know you as Savior. And that is that as I walk in you, you will provide your peace and your joy and your contentment and your fulfillment. Now, I don't know if you've experienced this. I dare say you have. There are times in my life that I thought I should not be happy. There are times in my life that I thought I should be miserable. There are times, and I thought that I was right to do that as a saved child of God. Listen, this person did this or that. Should I really be mad at them? Jesus said you ought to forgive them. But you don't understand, that was the seventh time, Peter. How many times should I forgive them, Lord? You know what he was saying? He wasn't saying don't count up to 490. He was just saying as many times as he or she will say. And by the way, even if they don't ask for forgiveness, we ought to love our enemies. We ought to love our enemies. And so I cannot do that if I'm zeroed in on myself. I won't do that. I won't do that. You know, we can pray wrong. You know, somebody cuts you off on the road. Lord, can you bless them with a flat tire? Can you bless them with a police officer right there as they went speeding past you about 20 miles over the speed limit? Bless them with a police officer, Lord. Would that be something that would be kind? Would that be something that would be good? What they're doing is, listen, they are simply just exemplifying a life without Christ. That's all they're doing. They are exemplifying a life without Christ. What am I exemplifying if I wish ill will on them? A life without Christ. But wait a minute, you're a child of God. That's true, but I'm still exemplifying a life that's without or with Christ. They would never know that, but filled with the flesh, not the Spirit of God. And so God says, be careful how you walk through this world. Don't be deceived. And listen, allow the Lord that wants to work in your life and mine to deliver us from what? What is our greatest need of deliverance from? Ourselves. So notice verse 9, he says, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust ourselves, but in God which raises the dead. And we know that by experience through salvation. And then notice this, who delivered Paul? Timothy? Or does it say, who delivered us? That's you and I, isn't it? That's us. So Paul, you know what Paul is saying? We have the same exact salvation. We have the same Savior and the same love of God to all of his children. So listen, who delivered us from so great a death? Praise the Lord that we were delivered. We deserved eternal death. But wait, not only that, and doth deliver. Well, if we've already been delivered, why do we need a continual deliverance? Because of our sinful nature. Amen? And he will continue to deliver us through the Spirit and the working of God in our lives, and doth deliver, in whom we trust, he will yet deliver us. That means once and for all, one day when we stand face to face before the Lord God himself. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, did you see that? That for the gift bestowed upon us, that means Paul's saying us, as believers, we've got this gift. By the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Our behalf. In other words, listen. The Spirit of God was working in their lives in a life-transforming way, and Paul wanted them to have that same power in their lives. Because the world doesn't just need to hear what we're saying, they need to see the life of Christ. If Christ be exalted, all men will be drawn unto the Lord. But if our own life is exalted, nobody's going to come to Christ. And here's what's important, that when we witness to people and we share Christ with them, we don't just want them to come to church once or twice. Is that it? Why are we here today? Because of the grace of God and because of the love of God that keeps us coming back. And because we understand God in a life-changing way. And God wants us to also share that life-changing way the same way Paul was doing it and saying, listen, this is what God has given to us. And so he says, notice, again, that we're helping one another. Verse 11, ye also helping together by prayer for us, that the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks be may be given by many on our behalf, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience that in simplicity of godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, this is the potential we have, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation, our manner of life in the world, and more abundantly to you, word, for we write none other things unto you than what ye read or acknowledge that I trust ye shall acknowledge even unto the end, as ye also have what? Acknowledged. So this is something that has to be reckoned with. It has to be acknowledged and confronted and dealt with. You can, listen, I don't remember when I shared this. The bridge is out. Where do you want the hospital? Do you want the hospital before the bridge is out or after the bridge is out? And better yet, wouldn't you like a sign saying the bridge is out? Where would you like that sign? Would you like it after the bridge is out or before the bridge is out? You know what God's trying to tell us? If we're leaning to our own understanding, the bridge is out and we have no help if we're looking to ourselves. But if we're looking to the Lord, He's the one that's going to provide everything that's needed so that we don't make a shipwreck or have a wreck in our own lives. But we can't look to ourselves for that. We have to look to the Lord. So how does that happen? Notice verse 13. For we write none other things unto you than that ye read or acknowledge. So in other words, if I see the sign and keep going, you could say, well, you probably saw it, but I didn't acknowledge the sign. If I acknowledged the sign, I would stop. To my safety, wouldn't I? To my safety. So God is saying if we'll acknowledge Him, that means that we're giving heed. That means that we have reverence or respect for what God is trying to say. If I acknowledge that sign, that shows I have respect for that sign because it's to my well-being. And so He says, for we write none other things, verse 13, unto you that you read or acknowledge. So don't just read it. A lot of people say, I have faith. You know, what do you have faith in? I have faith in my faith. What is that? I have faith in the Word of God. How do I know that? Because that's what I want to live by. That's what I want to follow. I don't want to just say, you know, I come to church. I want to say, no. Listen, I have faith in God. Amen. And that's why I go to church. I don't just go to church and have faith in God. I have faith in God. And that's why because He says, not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together. He says He gave His blood for His church. So the church is important. Now, you don't have to acknowledge that. Some people don't. Some people say, I can go to this one. I can go to that one. I can go this one for a little while. I can go to that one for a little while. But God says, oh no, listen, God tells us He places everybody in His church. So if I believe that, then God wants me to be in a specific location. Is that important or is it just for the pastor? The pastor should be the only one. Every believer, amen, ought to acknowledge and have reverence for what God says is important. And so the way that we display or acknowledge that is by our actions. And so He says, for we write none other things, verse 13, unto you, than what ye read or acknowledge. And I trust, notice, I trust ye shall acknowledge even unto the end. Have a reverence, have a respect, an obedience. As also ye have acknowledged us in part. Ye have respect that we are your rejoicing. In other words, listen, when Paul spoke to them, he encouraged them in spiritual things. And so they rejoiced in those things. Even as ye also are ours, our rejoicing in the day of the Lord Jesus, because you are seeking God and you want Him to be in your life. Amen? And so you're calling upon Him and you want to walk with Him. Verse 15, and this is the confidence I was minded to come unto you before, that ye might have a second benefit, and to pass by you into Macedonia, and to come again out of Macedonia unto you, and of you to be brought on my way toward Judea. So Paul's concerned. He's saying, listen, I wanted to make sure that God was bringing me in your direction because of His great faithfulness. Notice, when I therefore, verse 17, was thus minded, did I use lightness? Did I just take it carefree? Or the things that I purpose to do, do I purpose according to the flesh? That with me there should be yea yea and nay, nay? Should the things with me be up to how things just happen to fall out? Or should I be concerned about God's will specifically? See, listen, if we shoot for this or we shoot for that, is it what God's asking us and directing us to do? Because if it's not, then maybe it will work and maybe it won't. But if you want to know that it will work for sure, then we'd better make sure that God is saying that's what we should do. But if you want to try this and you want to try that, well, maybe it'll work and maybe it won't. But if God says, if you ask your heavenly Father for any good thing, will he withhold it? And see, you know that because God said it. So now I believe that. And he said, even so, he said, will the Father not, and I'm just paraphrasing here, reject anybody or say no to anybody that asks him for the filling of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is important because that is the power source to walk in God's commandments. You can't do it without the Holy Spirit. You do know that, right? Listen, it's not chances, it is definite. If you're not fulfilling the commandments of God, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me just say it like this. If I'm not fulfilling the commandments of God, I want you to know I'm human too. I'm not saying we fall into immoral sins. We're just not fulfilling the commandments of God. Being kind is one of the commandments of God. One to another. I can be unkind. I can. I have that ability. It doesn't glorify the Lord. But when I'm unkind, there's one thing I know. I'm not filled with the Spirit of God. I'm not. And so God wants us to know. And by the way, listen, the Bible says that the Spirit of God is also causes people to be easily approached. I can put a face on and make people afraid to approach me. I could, couldn't I? I can carry myself in such a way that people say, ooh, I don't think I want to talk to him. Could do that. Would I be filled with the Spirit if that's what I was doing? No. Because who am I thinking about? If I don't want somebody to approach me, who am I thinking about? Oh, not God. You would be surprised how much God will show us, amen, about ourselves when we yield completely over to the Lord and we say, Lord, we want your will to be performed in our lives by your grace and power. Then all of a sudden we'll say, oh my goodness, I didn't know I was so full of myself the way God sees me. Because I think about this and I think about that and I don't want to do this and I don't want to do that. Am I yielded that way? God says, here's what I want you to do and I'm not doing it. Who am I yielded to? Not the Lord. Who's become God in my life? Myself. So God is true, is he not? Last thought. So consider this. Verse 18. But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay, yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was what? Yea. You know what he's saying? Everything that God has promised, he will perform. Listen. Not almost everything. Everything God has promised for you and I to behold and to experience is yes with God. Amen. So if he wants you to have, he wants us to have his peace. The disciples were getting ready to go through a horrible experience at the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, I want you to know I'm giving you my joy. The problem comes, what are we leaning on? What are we looking to? Or what are we trusting in? What are we trusting in, my feelings or God's word? Amen. Let me ask you this. Have your feelings ever been wrong? I dare say, listen, you shouldn't listen to your feelings. Not even your gut. Your gut feelings. There's only one thing that we should lean to. What is that? The word of God. That's it, because my feelings can lie to me. My gut can lie to me. I don't know what the difference is between my feelings and my gut, but I think maybe when somebody said, you know, my gut feelings, maybe they thought that was a little stronger. I don't know, but it's not. There's only one thing that has assurance, and that's the Word of God. But as God is true, verse 18, our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For most of the promises of God, for all of the promises of God in him are what? And amen, as in truly, truly, that's done. And why? Unto the glory of God, by who? Oh, by us. Did you see the glory of God? This is crazy. God indwelt us with his Spirit that he might receive glory by us. That was the purpose of the Holy Spirit. That there would be a sure way, not a hope so, not a maybe so, a sure way of his glory in your life and mine. The problem comes if we don't trust God's sure way. We say, oh, I see. No, it's not going to happen. Guess what's going to happen? It's not going to happen because you don't have faith in God's way. And I don't have faith in God's way if I don't trust the Lord. And so how often should we call upon the Lord that we might trust him in all our ways and not ourselves? Every day. Every day. You know why? Listen, there's one thing I know about my flesh. It's weak. When it comes to spiritual things. Oh, it's strong in keeping me from spiritual things. But it's weak to do anything. The flesh will never do it will never bring glory to God. So notice this. Verse 20 again. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now, he which established, there's that word again, to be established, us with you. Listen to it. Now, he which establisheth us. You could say that's Paul and Timotheus and Silvanus, but I believe it really implies every believer. He now which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. So he's saying, listen, I want you to know this, that the same God who has blessed me and empowered me is the same God that will empower you. We're all in on this together. So the same Spirit that has blessed Paul and all the other ministers is the same Spirit that blesses all of God's people. Notice this, verse 22, who hath also sealed who? Us. Now, wait a minute. Is that just Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus? Or is that all the believers? Okay, so he who also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Is that all the believers as well? Moreover, because of that, he's saying, I call God for a record upon my soul that to spare you, I came not as yet unto Corinth. Because, listen, you remember, this was a problem church. They were not doing things right. And he says, I didn't want to put you down. I didn't want to come hard on you. I want to build you up in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to just build you up to make you feel good. I don't want to say things that I might hurt your self-esteem. Be careful. Be careful. I don't want to say anything that would be offensive. And yet, if you're going to speak the truth is going to offend. It is. You know what? It's going to be on the offense. You know what it told me? I'm guilty. And God is innocent. And the only way I can receive God's righteousness is to put my faith and trust, to forsake me, repent, and trust the Lord. So he says, verse 24, not for that we have dominion over your faith. We're not overlords, but are, listen, helpers of what? Your joy. We want to help your joy. And this is what he says. For by faith ye stand. What does that mean? By faith ye stand. By trusting in the Lord. The same way they stood. God is wanting us to stand for him. Amen. By his power. And God says, you know what? When we do that as a saved child of God, we'll taste freedom like never before. And we will see God work like never before. And God will show us things that were beyond our thoughts. And we will be amazed and we will be able to to carry forth and allow the Spirit of God to work through us in such a way that the world will see Christ. Not our best, but the Lord. And then He'll turn the world upside down through us. Isn't that amazing? Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for Your Word, the understanding that it brings into our lives. Lord, may we look solely to You and not to ourselves, the world, or the devil, or any other influence, Lord. But may we acknowledge You in all of our ways. Bless Your Word, bless Your people, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.